Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno, Black Lives Matter. To all the essential employees, thank you for everything you're doing. Today is a special episode. I'm here joined with Rito. What's your last name? Rito so, what?
It's not Rito's modern life. The last name is Perez. So my name is Rito Perez. It's actually a nickname. So I actually go by Harito or Harry, but most friends and family call me Rito.
Okay. You prefer to be called Rito?
Yep.
Rito Perez. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So I guess what? I don't remember the first time we spoke. I jokingly will refer to you as the only listener because you're at least the only listener that has ever like contacted us regularly and like suggested show ideas, and you know, you follow us all, me, Emilio, Vin, on all the social networks and stuff like that. So I don't know that much about you.
So I live in Massachusetts, Worcester County. So basically smack dab in, as they like to call, like the heartland of Massachusetts, you know, the heart of Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. So I heard from Vin, not from Emilio, that you gave us all a care package.
Yes, yes, I did.
And in the care package for myself, there was an Ecto-1.
Yep.
I would like to, number one, say thank you very much for that.
Thank
I would
you,
like to, number two, say to Emilio, I have not fucking seen this thing. I have not heard anything about this thing. Vin mentioned it. Emilio has had many chances to mention it. He has not. I don't know what he's doing with it. I don't know what he did with it. Did he sell it? I don't know. I don't know, but thank you for the thought. In the future, now I want you to know, don't send things to me via Emilio because they're not going to get to me.
That was actually my biggest fear. I was just like, oh no. Because I was just like, I don't know if they see each other like that.
We do, but actually we haven't seen each other since the pandemic. But I'm sure I haven't brought it up to him. I'm sure if I brought it up, he would be like, oh yeah. Because he's not even really a Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah, I figured that. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll make it up to you, and I'll send you a box full of Jen Orso toys.
No thanks. Okay. I could use them in my back, like just repave my backyard with them.
Those are the statues we need to take down.
Yeah. Oh God. Absolutely. Oh fuck. So, how did you hear about PCMC? How did you start listening to the show?
Okay, so let's go way back, like about 4 years ago. Because you've been on the air for about three, I want to say, or two and a half.
Well, it's going to be 3 years.
Okay, so basically what happened was 4 years ago, I was involved in a hit and run accident. And I was struck by a car. And as you and Emilio have constantly argued, or, you know, Emilio and Vin have constantly argued, I am not the man with one leg. I have both legs.
Where did that come from? I've also heard that you had one leg.
So there was a social media post I posted on Instagram. I always posted on the anniversary of the accident. And I was in the ER, so I crushed my foot real bad. I'm normal, whatever. Everything's back to normal. And in the photo, I had the crutches, and I had to hold my foot back because my foot looked like a giant, like blob of purple. It was terrible.
Wow.
So anyway, I went through rehab for like a couple of years and, you know, getting back to, you know, normal life. And I ended up getting a job at a paper mill, and I heard about a podcast called Wrestle Rap. And I listened to that and I was like, oh, wow, you know, this Emilio kid, he's really cool. He seems chill. So I followed him on social media and I went through social media, and then I got bored one day and I was just like, oh, let's see if he's been a guest on anything. And then I looked up like podcasts, and I was just like, oh, let me look up some pop culture. And then I found your podcast, and I was like, oh, that's Emilio. And I started listening to it, and I've been a fan ever since.
Wow, thanks. So this car accident really like fucked you up?
Yes and no. Like, it definitely has affected me with like getting used to driving again, just because like I have this debilitating fear of getting in the car, and I was walking at the time when I was hit. So
you were pedestrian hit?
Yes.
Did you ever find the person who perpetrated this crime?
Yeah, actually, like 2 or 3 minutes later, they turned around and they saw me and they're like, oh, I thought I hit a moose.
What the fuck kind of a statement is that?
I don't know, but that definitely, like, things got settled and, you know, everything got taken care of. So after that, went back to work, started listening to podcasts, and your podcast was one that I listened to on a constant basis. Like, I think you started uploading like every 4 days when you first started. Then you did the minisodes and then the holiday specials. And I always loved the ending of Go Bye Bye. Like, that was so original. And, you know, your show has definitely been like a staple in my everyday life. Like, throughout the jobs that I've worked, anytime I had to do stock, shipment, or even had some downtime, even when I'm at home doing laundry, I'll revisit a few episodes, you know?
Oh, wow. That means so much to me. I have the same relationship with podcasts. And I don't mean to, I know this is going to piss off gamers. I like to listen to podcasts while I game. I know that people put in a lot of work on the soundtrack. People, actors put a lot of work in the voices. I know, I'm sorry, but I just love to chill with a cup of coffee, a podcast, and playing a game. And I could do that for hours. So, like, I listen to We Hate Movies. I listen to Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo. I listen to You're Wrong About. I listen to what else do I listen to currently? The Dana Gould Hour, which comes out like once a month, but it's super well produced, but it doesn't come out very often. Yeah, and I'm the same way. Like, I'll get into a thing where it's like, to me, the best thing is when I find a new podcast that's new for me, but they've got a backlog. So then I can be like, oh, I like this. Oh, shit, they've got 30 episodes. Now for the next week, I'm going to just like pick through them and listen to them all while I like play games or like go to work or whatever. That's like, I don't talk about it enough on the show because it is a podcast, but I'm like, I probably listen to podcasts more than anything, more than I play games, more than I watch movies, more than I play with toys, more than I read books.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me. Like, you mentioned the You're Wrong About podcast. I remember, like, I stopped the podcast and I was like, let me subscribe to it. And they had, like, the OJ episodes. Mm. They had the episodes about the DC Sniper.
Yeah, those are good ones.
So I just started putting them on, and then, like, I'll be at work and I'll play it and I'll be like, hey, check this podcast out. But your podcast has been, yours and Emilio's podcast have been in rotation a long time, along with Anytime with Vin Forte and Cartoon Buffoons, which I want them to come back.
I know. Cool. That's why I try to talk about cartoons with Vin when I can, because I think he's got a real good point of view on animation.
Yeah, he seems very educated. And speaking of animation, let's address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like Clone High?
Okay, so, all right, so when me and Rito first talked about him coming on the show, I said, well, why don't we do just like a mini-sode? You're the guest, pick a topic. Because I don't know if you know this, the way that we produce the show is the co-host usually picks the topic. So, like, when Janine's on, she picks the topic. When Anthony's on, he picks the topic. I mean, I input, but I try to let them produce their own mini-sode. And you said a couple of things, but you said Clone High. And I was like, well, you know what? I've never seen Clone High, but I've heard a lot about it. So let me see it. And then I started watching. I watched two episodes. And then I was like, I'm not really liking this. I didn't hate it. It actually felt very much when it was made. It felt early 2000s. Like, I was like, this reminds me of like, what's that show with, like, Will Ferrell's the dad and they're all, like, mutants?
Oh, the Oblongs.
It reminded me of that a little bit. And I was like, I don't love this, and I know some people do love it. I wish I had more of an intellectual criticism of it other than, you know, it's a cool idea, and I like that early 2000s look, that sort of Powerpuff Girls kind of weird, you know, kind of thick line. Look, like, I like the way that Joan of Arc looks. She's got a very cool design, but it wasn't doing that much for me in terms of comedy.
Yeah, that seems to be the case with a lot of people. Like, I've tried putting my friends and family onto it, and they're like, I don't get it. Like, the first two episodes, I will say, are like not like the cream of the crop, but once you get, like, I don't know, I watched it week by week when it was on the air, and eventually I started liking it just because the design, like you said, it was Powerpuff Girls. Samurai Jack, like that Genndy Tartakovsky kind of art style, which was originated by UPA and you know, the Mr. Magoo and McBongBong animation. So it's like where everything blended in the corner. Like, I'm a huge super fan of the show, as you can see here on my phone case. have Gandhi. So
I was turned off by how much of like a sexual creep Gandhi was. And that's very early 2000s. You know, we were not woke in those times.
Yeah, the show is, I will say it's pretty problematic. And Gandhi was actually the reason why the show was canceled.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so originally MTV had, they had an office in India. And it just so happened that the president of Viacom was in town or something like that. And pretty much they were like, hey, we saw this article in Maxim where it portrayed Gandhi being beat up by a girl. And they're like, yeah. So they're like, oh, all right. We don't really mess with that. So they protested, and the creators, Lord and Miller, were like, hey, how about next season we just say that his name is Gary and he's actually the clone of Gary Coleman?
Well, that actually would have been an interesting idea because at least in the first couple episodes that I saw, he doesn't seem to be Gandhi-esque. I think that's the joke, that Gandhi's such a peaceful person. And he's such like a wild kind of asshole.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting what they're going to do now with this show as far as in these times to see how they, you know, what kind of boundaries they could push and who they can and can't offend.
It's being rebooted.
Yep.
Where is it going to go now? Where's the new season going to go?
So the new season is going to go with, I think, they either said that it's going to be on Comedy Central or MTV. But there's also rumors that Viacom, Nickelodeon, and Netflix are going to form partnership and have their own streaming service, just like the Peacock with NBC.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting to see what, you know, streaming is going to do, because honestly, some of the things that are going to come on network television is going to suck.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I was really surprised that the creators of the show, and then I never really watched it, because it's created by Lord and Miller, who did the Lego movie, who did 21 Jump Street movie. They're a comedy team. They directed most of a Han Solo movie before they were fired and replaced with Ron Howard. And then the other person is Bill Lawrence from Scrubs, which I love Scrubs.
Yeah, Scrubs, that's another show that was actually involved in the creation of the show, because they actually recorded in the asylum part of the hospital, the Sacred Heart Hospital of the show.
Really?
Yeah, that's why like Joan of Arc's stepfather is actually voiced by Donald Faison. And Zach Braff voiced one of like the extra characters in the back. And they were actually able to take, I don't know if Jack Black was actually on Scrubs. I haven't really seen Scrubs like that. But I think they pulled him from an episode of there to do voice acting in the closet there.
Yeah, there's some other people too. I think Neil Flynn, who was the janitor, he plays somebody.
He plays the janitor.
Okay. Cleopatra was a regular cast member on Scrubs. And I believe she's Bill Lawrence's wife in real life.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Okay. But, you know, if you ever have time, dive into Scrubs. Scrubs is a fun watch.
I started watching it one day when I was in a then relationship with my girlfriend. And one of the first episodes I saw was Dave Franco. And I was just like, oh, this is crap.
Dave Franco will turn anybody off. Oh, wait. No, that's not real Scrubs, though. That's the last season. They like rebooted it. It was like a spinoff. They called it Scrubs and they pretended like it was Scrubs, but it was called Scrubs : Med School. And it was a whole new cast of like young people. It was a weird, fucking backwards fucking pilot. It was weird. Nah, that shit's not good. Nah.
I'll give it a chance. I'm sure I'll find time to stream it, because I do like the theme song, and I've seen it in passing, like in early mornings getting ready for school. So I'll give it a shot.
So what are you chilling with right now? Like, what are you into right now?
Right now, I'm into, so as you know, if you follow me on social media anywhere, I constantly talk about how they canceled Deadly Class. Mm-hmm. So Deadly Class originally started as a comic by Image Comics, and I picked it up, I want to say a couple of years ago, I picked up like some trade issue. And I read through it, and then I was like, oh, this is cool. I put it down, and then one day after watching wrestling on USA, they played the pilot, and I was just like, oh, this seems interesting. Let me see what it's like. And I was instantly hooked by the show just because I was like, wait a minute, some of this stuff I remembered, and I went back to read the trade copies, and I've been hooked ever since.
What is it about? I'm not familiar with Deadly Class.
So Deadly Class, what it's about, a school of assassins that try to create chaos in the world of tomorrow. It's led by a dean or like a headmaster, Mr. Lin. And essentially what he does is he teaches these students different tactics and strategies to take over the world, essentially. And what's great about it is any high school show you could write up and say, oh, you know, we have the cliques, like the rich, the goths, this and that, where they take that to another level where you have the legacies, which are like the kids whose fathers were top tier assassins, CIA operatives, things of that nature. You have the Yakuza kids, you have the cartel kids, you got the Russians, KGB, USSR, and then you have the bottom of the barrel, the rats. Mm-hmm. So the rats and the legacies create that, you know, class, confrontation amongst each other. Uh-huh. And it creates that storyline where, you know, oh, so-and-so is dating who, so-and-so killed this person and whatnot. It's definitely a tale of its time, too, because it's set in the, I want to say the late, early 80s. So you got a lot of the Clash, the Ramones, I'm trying to remember. But just all these different 80s groups, like the Deftones and all that good stuff.
Okay, cool. And they canceled it?
Yeah, they canceled it. And the way the show ended was with the cliffhanger, like all good shows do.
That's the fucking worst.
Yeah, they couldn't seem to find a home anywhere else. Like, I feel like this was a show that would have been great on Hulu or even HBO, just because although it was a show that was mainly for teens, they definitely pushed that rated MA line and said, hey, we're going to do this. And the music in it was great. Like, you had classic rock and old indie music that made you revisit those punk times. It was awesome.
Wow. Sometimes that happens, you know, like you fall in love with something and then it's like, it's just gone. I'm still on Facebook, member of a group called Bring Back United States of Tara. And I don't think it's going to happen. It's been like 10 years.
Okay. I thought you were going to be more of a Firefly guy.
Firefly. You know what? I'm a big Buffy guy. So I like Joss Whedon. I never got into Firefly. I did watch the first episode, but I never like totally gave it like the real chance. At least not yet. I have seen Serenity, so I've seen the movie, which I liked. United States of Tara was a comedy on Showtime from, I don't remember what fucking year, and it only had like two seasons maybe, or three seasons, and it was Toni Collette was the mom of the family, and she had multiple personalities, and she played all these different characters. And her daughter actually was Brie Larson from Captain Marvel, but she was like 16 or whatever in the show. Yeah. And who's the dad? The dad was, I forget his name, but he was from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and he was Aiden on Sex and the City. I forget his fucking name. He's also the voice of Applebee's. Like, he's the guy who's like, Applebee's. Come chill in the neighborhood. Like, that's him. Bro, I love Applebee's. Can we talk about Applebee's for a hot second?
Listen, the 2 for $22 deal is my steez.
Have you tried the fucking breadstick appetizer?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, my God. I get that for a meal. All right. Folks out there, okay? Applebee's has a fucking appetizer that's breadsticks. And, like, I know you're thinking, well, don't they give you breadsticks everywhere? Nah, like, these are, like, fried breadsticks. They're actually very close to the breadstick from Olive Garden.
Yes,
you get five of them, and they're fucking huge. And it comes with a dipping, like, a bowl of Alfredo sauce. So you dip your fried, greasy, fucking carby breadsticks into the Alfredo sauce and get that delicious Alfredo cheese on there. Oh my God, I'll get that and like fries and like make that a meal. And me and my girlfriend, we do that like more than a person should, like twice a week.
Well, you know what? I'll one-up you because I'll get that same order and then I'll get the creamy spinach dip from Tostino's.
Ooh, yeah.
Take that bad boy up, put it in the microwave, and use that as a dip.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Like, ooh. And the wonton tacos, too.
I'm all about the fucking dips. Listen, I saw a product today in the supermarket that I was like, that's the most American product I've ever seen. Have you seen this? It's called the Dip Clip. And basically, it's for when you're eating in your car. It's this little, like, cup holder thing that you clip into, like, the vent of your air conditioner.
Yeah.
So you put your little like dipping sauce in there. So like if you're like driving and eating chicken nuggets at the same time, you can be like fucking just take it out of the bag and then like dip it in the fucking ranch on your fucking, and I imagine that because it's on the fucking air conditioner makes the whole car smell. So I was like, this is a fucking, this is a product, man. But yeah.
Yeah, when you're driving, you just want your car to smell like ranch or blue cheese.
Oh, God, yeah. God, yeah.
What is your stance on ranch and blue cheese? That's the real question.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for asking this question. No, it's cool to talk about this because you can't talk about this shit with Emilio because he'd be like, oh, I had steamed kale. And I'm like, fuck you, man. Like, you don't, you don't fucking eat real things. So I like blue cheese. I think blue cheese really does go perfectly well with hot sauce, like especially if it's very hot. I don't eat wings anymore because I'm a vegetarian, but, you know, when I ate wings, I used to love Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way. When I would eat wings, they were good. Now, I do prefer ranch in all ways. Now, a lot of places have Chipotle ranch or, like, Zesty ranch, the ranch with a little bit of kick in it. I used to work at a as a waiter, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever – have you worked in a restaurant?
Yeah, I used to work at a Chili's, and then I also used to work at a Buffalo Wild Wings, so okay. I don't want to ruin wings. I don't want to ruin wings for anybody listening, but
oh my god,
it's all Tyson.
Okay, all right. I thought you were gonna say it's all goat meat.
No. I haven't worked my way up to that echelon. I luckily left and found a better job.
Okay, good. Yeah, when I was working at, which I don't know if it's even all over. It might be something just like East Coast, but anyway, we had Chipotle ranch, and I used to get in trouble because I made it way too Chipotle. They were like, it's got to be, like, just a little zing. But I would make it, like, literally hot, and, like, people would complain. But it, you know what I mean? Like, don't put me in the kitchen if you don't want me to fucking come up with that good ranch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what you're saying. You know what? It's always the guys in the kitchen that will be your friends. Because as a former waiter working the shoe and going through the day, the waiter always gave you that extra kick. Like, I feel like you were the waiter. You're like, hey, here's some extra bacon. I got you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, hey, guys, fucking. I was like, I know that earlier I told you a lie and I said that the shake machine was broken, but the shake machine ain't broken. I'll make you a shake if you want one.
You're a real one for that.
Yeah. And everyone who's ever worked in a restaurant knows this, but if you've not worked in a restaurant, let me tell you the fucking truth. Shake machines never break. They don't break. They're made out of fucking steel. When someone in a restaurant tells you, oh, I'm sorry, the machine's broke, it means they don't want to fucking do it. Because the way it works in almost every restaurant is with a shake, it's something that the waiter has to make, not the cooks. So a waiter, they don't want to stop what they're doing and like get the ice cream and make a shake. So most waiters are like, fuck, a shake? Like, waiters hate when you ask for a shake. So waiters will be like, oh, the shake machine's broken, and it's always a lie. It's always a lie. Flash your fucking 20. Be like, listen, is the shake machine still broken? Like slip it on the table.
You know what's funny? So speaking of milkshakes, I just dread the start. So up until about age, I want to say 22, I wasn't really a big drinker. Mm-hmm. And I used to go to a local restaurant in my town, and I'd go there and I'd sit at the bar because all the tables were taken. And I'm just like, oh, you know, I want to start my meal off right. I was the asshole that went to the bar and said, hey, give me a shake.
Good for you.
And like the bartender would look at me and start laughing. He goes, all right, what do you want, a gin and tonic? And then I'd have to reiterate and say, no, I want a shake.
Fuck yeah, I want a shake. What kind of shake do you get when you get a shake?
I usually get, so depending on the place, my go-to, so there's, I don't know if it's on your side of town, it's called Five Guys.
Yeah.
I usually get a banana shake with a little bit of peanut butter and chocolate drizzle.
Bro, you and me, we're like soulmates. I always get banana shakes. Banana shakes are the fucking best. I get the banana shake from Checkers. Woo! So good. Whenever banana is an option, I get it. If I don't have banana as an option, which often places it's not an option, like in a diner, I get the black and white, which is vanilla and chocolate.
I think we lost our listeners with our little food rant.
Nah. Fuck that. Banana shakes all day.
So I got to say, Mike, one thing I like about Pop Culture Man Children, which, you know, the name alone, PCMC, rolls right off the tongue. I got to know, like, what made you think of the name?
It was one of the hardest things, actually, because it was like I wanted the name, and to be super honest with you, I don't love the name. Like, that's why I prefer to call it PCMC more than Pop Culture Man Children. Especially because so many podcasts have pop culture in the title, it makes it, I think, hard to search for Pop Culture Man Children. But I guess I wanted something, I wanted to say what we cover and what the tone is. Like, right now, I'm working on a new podcast that I haven't really talked about yet. So this is, I guess, the reveal of it. It should be coming out at the end of this year. Maybe September, October, I'm not sure. Maybe even later. And it's not like PCMC. It's going to be a 10-episode series. And that's a podcast that is a comedic conversation on depression, anxiety, and mental health issues.
Wow. That is I've never... So, to be honest with everyone that's listening, depression is a real thing. You know, this is not something that we sweep under the rug. There have been moments where you're like, should I do this? Should I do that? But we're not going to get that deep into it. Mm-hmm. This is definitely awesome because as far as the world of comedy and depression, they work one in one. They're the yin and the yang of each other. So, like, there's truth behind the jokes, but there's jokes behind the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's awesome. I'm actually definitely looking forward to that. You definitely got a fan in that.
Thanks. But I guess my point was, the name of that show I like better than Pop Culture Man Children. The name of the show is Cuckoo Bananas, which is stupid, but it's short. And it sort of, it does the same thing as PCMC, which is like, or Pop Culture Man Children, which is like, here's the tone. We didn't want to call it like, mental health chat, or like, because we want you to know we're laughing at it, but we're not making fun of it because we have it. We're together laughing at it, like Cuckoo Bananas. Like, what are you? Like, I've got OCD. I've got, you know, ADHD. I've got, you know, my co-host has PTSD. But we have Cuckoo Bananas. So, and it was the same thing with that show. I think coming up with titles is the hardest thing because there's a lot of fucking podcasts and you don't want to step on in someone else's name. You know, almost every name you could think of, go and Google it, go to Stitcher, go to Apple and see if someone else has it. And a lot of times that is what leads it. Like, I think I've talked about on the show, I wanted originally it to be called Man Babies. Pop Culture Man Babies, but there was an NBC sitcom. I don't know if it even aired or it was just a pilot and it was called Man Babies. And I was like, well, this show's coming out. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. It ended up not going. But I was like, fuck, I don't want to step on the title. So it becomes it's a juggle between, does it properly describe the show? Does it give the person who's scrolling through iTunes an idea of the tone of the show? And most importantly, is it original? Are you taking someone else's name? Because you don't want to do that.
Yeah, with the PCMC name, like I said, it rolls off the tongue. I like the name of it. And then I like the art style as far as the original picture where it's you with the... So I'm not familiar with Star Wars Beyond the Mandalorian, but you had like the Luke Skywalker helmet and then the Superman cape.
Yeah.
And then Emilio with the belt and the giant shoes.
Yes. Well, I mean, shout out to Chris Sorrentino. He is the artist that I work with on everything. He's awesome. I share his shit as much as I can. You can look him up on Instagram, Chris Sorrentino. You can look him up on Etsy, Path of the Beam on Etsy. He sells his shit. He is, he's a friend of mine, but I really love his pop culture work. Like, outside of what he's done for me, he's got like here's an example of his series. He's got a series of paintings called Real Ghostbusters, spelled R-E-E-L. Mm-hmm. And it's classic scenes from the Ghostbusters movies, but rendered in the Real Ghostbusters cartoon characters. So like basically acting out the movie with the cartoon characters. Like that's the kind of shit he does. Like he's done paintings on the Gremlins. He's done, you know, Mickey Mouse and shit like he's, he's a really good pop culture artist. So it was like, for me, oh, you're the perfect person to work with. And he did both. He did the original and the new one, which the new one I made after, I forget how long ago it's been now, but originally it was like me and Emilio for every episode. And then Emilio was getting super tired. He had started a new job and he was like stressed. And I was like, okay, well, let's like do like all these different hosts. So then I was like, okay, well, I don't want it to be us anymore in the image. So the new image, which I really love, is like She-Ra and fucking
Ninja Optimus Prime,
Optimus Ninja Prime, Ecto Cooler. So yeah, Chris Sorrentino, he's great. So, and while I'm doing shout outs to people, let me do a shout out to Bill Gagliardi, because he did the PCMC theme. And he also did the Christmas version of the theme and the fucking Halloween version of the theme. He is working on the Cuckoo Bananas theme. He's like, when it comes to music, he's like my guy, and he's great. So
yeah, I don't know
why this is about me. Let's change the subject.
Well, I was gonna say, the shout out to the Gagliardis. I constantly hear them on the podcast, so they're definitely a staple in the show. So, speaking of Ghostbusters, what are your thoughts on this new Ghostbusters film that's gonna come out? Like, I know you've spoke on it before, but do you think they should have done that, or have they gone with the extreme Ghostbusters? I mean, the real Ghostbusters. My apologies.
Well, no, it's funny. It's sad. The other day was the day it was supposed to come out. Like a week ago, it would have come out and we would have experienced it. But they pushed it a whole year, which I'm actually excited about, because the way movies work these days is that they rush things out. And you think, well, these big movies, they spend so much money on it. Why would they put so much money into it and then like do a shoddy job? I don't know. It doesn't make any fucking logical sense, but that's how Hollywood works. So now the director he's got a whole extra year with a movie that's basically 99% done. So he's got a year to sit with it. And I think that's a really, like, that's sort of a gift almost. I wish they had, I like the 2016 movie. I don't think it's perfect. I think it has good characters, but it's not a very good script. And I think that's not anybody's fault except the executives at Sony. I think Sony fucked that up completely. And I think, you know, the rumor is that the original script was very funny and Sony just fucking cut it to threads. And I don't blame the director. I don't blame the women involved. I would have liked to have seen a sequel to that movie.
I think with that film, because I don't know if the Me Too movement was big in 2016 or if it was starting to gain traction. But I know that there was a lot of people that are like, oh, they're just pandering to the SJWs. And like,
yeah,
a lot of people kind of like gave this movie, like they cut the legs from under it, which kind of sucked because it had potential. But then it also suffers the same fate as Men in Black International, whereas, you know, you try revisiting that well and at the bottom of the well is unfortunately a stinky pile of crap.
Yeah. Men in Black International, I saw it and I kind of was like, all right, like it wasn't great. I think it was better than Men in Black 2. I've never seen 3, actually.
3 was terrible.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that was better than 2. It was all right. I think Hemsworth and Valkyrie, they work really well together. Tessa Thompson. That's right. They work really well together. I was like, they have chemistry, blah, blah, blah. You could kind of see who the bad guy was going to be from the first fucking scene. It was pretty obvious. You know, they try to do a twist that you already know what's going to happen. What was my point with this? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look, when a trailer comes out for your movie and it's the number one most downvoted video in YouTube history and no one's even seen the fucking movie, that's Neckbeard's protesting.
Yeah, it sucks too, because for Men in Black International, I don't know if you knew this, but they were actually trying to get 21 Jump Street to cross over with that series.
That would have been crazy, but also, like, why not?
I figured that. Yeah, and like with the Ghostbusters films, I don't know, I hope this doesn't do the whole, oh, let's revisit the same beats as the original series, or go the, hey, remember the 80s? This is nostalgia, like they did with the It movies with Finn Wolfhard, you know, like,
yeah.
I hope he doesn't get typecasted in the role as the nerdy heartthrob kid who's from Stranger Things.
I think he's already probably cast in that box.
Yeah, yeah.
What appeals to me about the new movie, from what I've read from the director Jason Reitman, is he's like, listen, my dad directed the first two movies. I was a little kid when they came out. I was on the set. I was the first Ghostbusters fan. I was there with all the other kids in the 80s obsessed with it. and I wanted to come to it as a sort of fan. And because he was like, look, the basic premise of the movie, which you see in the trailer, is this little kid finds a proton pack. And he was like, as a little kid, I would have loved to have found a proton pack. That would have been my fantasy come true. And I was like, okay, I can get behind that. I can get behind that, because whether they wanted it to be or not, it became a kid's movie. So why not have it be, you know, from the point of view of these kids? And, you know, making the kids Egon's grandchildren is a really nice way to homage Harold Ramis, because he's not around to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have hope for it. I just hope it doesn't, you know, get trashed or people are like, hey, what's happening? I don't even know where it lands in the universe as far as with the women one, the one with the women.
It's in the universe of the first two movies.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can't really take the comics as part of canon, but in the IDW comics, it's a multiverse. So, like, the women exist in their own universe and they cross over. There's also the Extreme Ghostbusters exist in their own universe and cross over. Like, Kylie, the original female Ghostbuster from Extreme Ghostbusters, she's in the comic now as Kylie, but it's like a different version of her. I think she's like a secretary with Janine or whatever. It's interesting with it. Everything they do in the comics is interesting.
Yeah, the Extreme Ghostbusters was a great show. That was actually one of my like cartoon crushes was her.
Yeah, she was like goth. I'm still watching that. There's only one season and it has 40 episodes. So I'm about like 4 or 5 to the end of it. So working my way towards the end of it, the season and series finale is called Back in the Saddle, and the original Ghostbusters come back.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the art style of that show at that time, I don't know if you watched Fox Kids growing up, but they used to have the Godzilla series, the animated series, and then they had Jumanji, the animated series. And then they had another show, which was, I think it was the same people that made Men in Black, the cartoon, but it was called Big Guy and Rusty.
Uh-huh. I never seen that.
Oh, dude, Big Guy and Rusty was a great show. You can find old episodes on YouTube. But it's about this like little kid robot. He's essentially the American version of Astro Boy.
Uh-huh.
And he has a big like robot that like he follows, who's the big guy, and he loves him. He's like, oh, you're my hero. I've grown up watching you, like da da da, this, that, and the second. And then I think after the first or second episode, he finds out that it's actually operated by a former Navy SEAL. So he's just like, oh, man. and then they build off that. So it's a good series if you ever have time to watch it.
Let me ask you, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay. So when you were like a kid, like what was the stuff you were into?
So the stuff I was into was, I was really into wrestling because my mom, she used to work a security job, and she used to work at the Worcester Centrum, now the DCU Center. She used to work security for them. And she'd always, you know, say, hey, there's these wrestling shows. Like, she'd take me and my sister to go see them. So, like, I got into wrestling through that. I was big in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, I still, as you can see here, I still have this.
Nice. Megazord.
So, yeah, so I love that. I think that
original Megazord was really the best.
Yeah.
Especially when you fucking put the green thing on them and then put them in the white fucking, and you made the super duper fucking fuck you Zord.
It is crazy because that was one of the shows where, like, they said, hey, like, Saban, he is the greatest finesser in the game. Like, this guy took original clips and just redubbed them and reshot them and said, hey, let me take your toys and properties and resell it to the American people and make billions of dollars off of it. But, I was into the Power Rangers, Spider-Man, and Marvel Comics was my thing. Like, even throughout high school, I read comics when I don't want to sound like the guy to say, oh, I was reading comics before it was cool. But, like, people be like, oh, why are you reading comics? Why are you watching wrestling and all this stuff? It was just cool to me. So I was just into anything and everything. The one thing that I don't understand that most people are into is Harry Potter. I don't get the whole thing behind that. And in Star Wars, like, before I watched The Mandalorian, I was like, oh, it's a stupid show. It's the blah, 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 blah. And then I sat down and I watched The Mandalorian because I was like, who's this baby Yoda?
Yeah. So as a listener of PCMC, like when we've had so many Star Wars conversations, like what do you do? Just turn it off? Or You just like fucking look at your phone, go on Instagram. Like, how do you like listen to this show if you're not that into Star Wars?
So I'm one of those people, even if I don't like something, I'll hear about how someone's passionate about it. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you got me into watching The Mandalorian because you're like, oh, there's the show, there's this cute baby Yoda. So I was just like, all right, I'll watch it. And I loved it.
Oh, cool. Cool. So you were a young nerd, but you didn't get into Star Wars.
No, I mean, Star Wars, so where I grew up in, like, the projects. Yeah, the projects, Section 8 housing and all that. Mm. And the cool thing was just, like, rap and, you know, basketball and all that, which, you know, I partook in both, but
yeah.
It was just wrestling and Power Rangers, just violence and all that, and superheroes. So, like, liking Star Wars wasn't the cool thing. Like, if you like Star Wars, you were just like, nah, we don't mess with you.
Okay.
But it's crazy to see how, like, I don't watch Star Wars, but I know, like, the whole Luke, I'm your father and all that good stuff. Yeah. So I'm sure if I watched it with fresh eyes, I'll be like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
You know, I can't imagine trying to get into it now if I had it as a kid, because it's just such a big cultural thing. What about toys?
So with toys, I was lucky enough that I had an older sister that worked a job as well, so she'd get me a lot of toys.
Nice.
When it came to toys, I was really into Legos. I loved Legos.
Word.
And Transformers. And I'm trying to remember the name of it. They were like Erector sets, but they were made out of plastic.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I think they were called Connect. I don't even know, but...
Connect with a Z?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Or an X? Yeah. I had those... let me see what else. I'm trying to remember. I had PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4. So, like, I was lucky enough to have all the consoles growing up.
Yeah.
Do you still play games? Yeah. I usually toss on 2K, or I'll toss on, like, WWE or Grand Theft Auto. If I want to, I think one of these days I'm going to pull the trigger and get the whole set of the Kingdom Hearts series.
I have wanted to do that because I'm a Disney fan, and I've talked about this so many times, but I love any deviation on the classical Disney characters, like when you change their design. So the idea of like Donald and Goofy as like fantasy warriors really turns me on. And I know Disney Plus is going to do an animated series of Kingdom Hearts.
No.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe. And I've had friends like, dude, do it, do it. But, you know, when it comes to RPGs, like, I've never been a big RPG guy.
It is hard to get past. Like, that was one of the first games I bought on the PlayStation 2. And I fell in love with it. Like, this was at a time where you didn't have a flash drive. You had to physically save it on your little memory card. So I remember I used to leave my thing, like, on all night and, like, go to school and make sure, oh, mom, make sure don't turn off it or don't turn it off and come back because I filled the memory card. But it's a good series to get into. I'm sure that if you indulge a little bit in, you know, play, you'd like it.
Yeah, I just, what am I playing now? Right now, I'm going through The Last of Us 2 for the third time because I just want to max everything out and fucking, but that's a good game. I don't have a Switch. I kind of want to get a Switch. I said I don't like RPGs, but I actually like the Paper Mario games, and the new Paper Mario looks awesome.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Animal Crossing. That seems to be the big quarantine pick of the litter.
No, I can't. I mean, maybe I'd like it if I played it, but I don't know. Sometimes when the world is too open, I don't like it. Like, everyone talked about Red Dead Redemption is like the best game ever. And I just played it, and I feel like all I do is, like, fucking, like, brush my horse and, like, cook food. And people are like, wow, it's so realistic. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but I fucking don't want to do that. Like, I'm like, let's fucking do missions.
Yeah, that seems to be the problem, too. Like, whenever I hop on GTA, I don't play GTA as much because everyone's like, oh, let's do missions, where I want to do, like, all the customization and all that. So I'm on the other side of the spectrum of that. Now, one question I have, you know, with this whole pandemic going on and everyone being in quarantine, as far as entertainment, like the industry of entertainment, do you think this really changed the way about how shows go about delivering their product faster to the people?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I guess there are a couple things that we're going to look back on as like these were staples of the pandemic. like Animal Crossing or Tiger King. I don't know. I'm not sure. Because we already have a culture that sort of voraciously consumes things and, you know, binges things often when they really like it. So I'm not sure. Although one of the things that I think was cool about, like, Tiger King was everybody was talking about it for a little while. It felt like the way it used to feel when network shows were really big. Like, if you're like kids now, I sound like such an old man, but like kids now don't realize, like, in the 90s and early 2000s, like, you'd watch like Seinfeld or Friends, and then like everyone would talk about it. Like, did you see Seinfeld last night? What did you think of this? What did you think of that? What's gonna happen? And it was like a big deal. And now, even when things are really big, you're not all on the same page as other people. Because somebody may have binged it. Somebody might be on episode 3. Some people might be on episode 6. And I kind of miss...
appointment television?
Yeah. I miss everyone being involved in something at the same time.
Yeah, because in today's age, like, back then, like, I'm old enough to remember. I don't know if it's the old soul in me, but... I'm old enough to remember when, like, Seinfeld was finishing. It was, like, the biggest thing ever. Or when Friends was finishing, people would, like, quote the show, like, oh, we were on a break, or yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Where now, in this day and age, people could binge a show or watch one episode and then hop on their computer and say, hey, let me meme this. And then it's the biggest meme ever.
And things burn out quicker.
Yeah, they do. Like, I remember when and you said this, too. I remember when you were talking about, I got to get the Baby Yoda.
Right.
And now I walk into a Walmart or a Kmart and it's in the clearance section.
Right. And it's they didn't realize Baby Yoda was going to be so big. So there was a demand for it and they met the demand and went overboard. Whereas like around Christmas, you were like, oh shit, I want anything with Baby Yoda. You had to buy bootleg Baby Yoda shit. Now it's like, don't worry. There's Baby Yoda cereal, Baby Yoda Clue, Baby Yoda puzzles, Baby Yoda... Like, there's Baby Yoda, like, fucking bed sheets and, like, which I thought about getting. Because this is, I don't know if this is a thing kids still do, but, like, back in the day, when you were really into something, you'd get, like, the sheet comforter, fucking, like, I had the fucking He-Man comforter, I had Power Rangers comforter, I had the Batman Returns comforter, and fucking sheet. Like, that was, like, the shit back in the day, the fucking bed set. And I don't know if that's still cool. But fucking the Baby Yoda one, I was like, damn. Like, why didn't they make it in Queen? Like, I don't have a single bed.
That is so funny. Like, mind you, listeners, behind Mike is a portrait of Baby Yoda. I don't know if he painted it or...
I did paint that.
It's funny, though, because... Hold on. I have this one right here.
Beautiful.
It's Baby Yoda riding a city bike.
Nice.
Yeah, this was actually gifted to me by a friend of Emilio's, Lauren Moran, which I'm wearing her art. So she made this design of Becky Lynch shirt. But it's crazy because I remember when you said, oh, you got a bootleg Baby Yoda. Like, in my head, I imagine you're in like some like underground parking lot with like a trench coat saying, hey, you got this stuff.
It was like that. The bootleg Baby Yoda that I got. It came from China and, it took long to finally get to me.
When did you get it?
Fuck. It showed up like 2 months later. Like it was like, it was a while before it showed up. And it's very kawaii looking. Like it's Baby Yoda clearly, but it also like has like heart eyes and shit. Like it's not Baby Yoda. but I don't know, I think I talked about this last episode, but I'm on TikTok now. You can see my Baby Yoda shit on my TikTok, PCMC Pod. I'm actually at PCMC Pod everywhere now, at PCMC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And I did a whole TikTok, like, basically showing all of my Baby Yoda shit, which is literally in the room I'm in right now, the basement. Anywhere you fucking turn, you'll see a Baby Yoda. It's like everywhere.
No, that's awesome.
It makes me feel very comfortable. I enjoy it. Let me show you something new I got, Rito. I just got this guy.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on your Instagram. Oh, I was going to say, I know Emilio ripped you a new one about taking it out of the box.
Listen, we only live once. This is, I got a, It's Masters Universe Origins, which is a new Mattel line that takes the old He-Man toys and basically gives them more articulation, makes them more like a modern figure would be. And because it's a modern figure, I took it out. Like, if this were an OG figure, I'd leave it in. Like,
is it toyetic?
It's very toyetic. Of course, it's Mattel. All right. Like, a couple years ago, they did recreations of the originals, but, like, really faithful. Like, they didn't change anything. Super 7 did that, and I've got those, and I left them in their packs. So, with something that's really nice, I leave it in its package. Like, I just got from Walmart the real Ghostbusters. Left that in its package. But for the most part, if it's new and, you know, it's however you want to enjoy it. Like, if people want to leave shit in their package, I get it. It looks beautiful up on a wall. But, you know, like, I wanted to hold them. I wanted to feel them in my arms.
Oh, what was one toy from your childhood that you loved? And then one toy that you did have but haven't been able to find?
I guess going back to Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters toys, which are the toys from the cartoon, for some reason, they're very hard to find. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe at the time, nobody left them closed. Like, I have really had a very hard time. I mean, it's out there, but it's usually a lot of money. You know, like, if you look hard enough, you could find, you know, Star Wars figures, original Star Wars figures in their packages, He-Man, G.I. Joes and stuff. But, like, Ghostbusters stuff is kind of hard to find, the original stuff.
Mm.
Probably the toy that I used the most and got the most out of was the real Ghostbusters Proton Pack.
Oh, that thing was awesome. I had the cousins that had that, and that thing was cool. I wanted to wear it to school, and I couldn't.
When I grew up, it was, you know, me and my cousins, and we were all the same age. And literally whenever there was like a family party, like we'd all bring it and like we would just play Ghostbusters like all the time. Like that toy, like I really like got the most out of that toy. Like that was my Proton fucking pack.
Yeah, that's awesome. One toy I remember as a kid was WWE had a thing called the Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. where it was like a ring set. It was this huge Elimination Chamber. Like it opened from the top and like it had a breaking glass. Like I've looked everywhere for that one, and that is one toy where I'm ready to drop money for it, but I want the original one because the new one's just garbage. But, yeah, and then another one was my mom got it for me in, I want to say, kindergarten or first grade. I don't know if it was Hot Wheels or Matchbox, but they had this giant, like, RV that you used to carry around and keep all your cars in, and then it'll roll out into, like, a little city.
Right, I remember that. I remember
that. That was awesome. Like, I'm just having memories of seeing, like, my dinosaur sheet my dinosaur bed set now, just thinking about it.
When you were into Power Rangers, did you have that shit?
Yeah, I had like the ones where you click the leg and like the head would flip over to
Yeah.
I had the Green Ranger, it was like the sword. What else did I have?
Fucking the dagger, the Yes,
that, and I think I had the Megazord too. I didn't really have too much of the Power Rangers toys. Like I had like a lot of the, like I like to call them guys, the little guys.
Yeah, where sure.
They came like this size and like you pull them apart in like the rubber band with the metal. They were like G.I. Joe, but they were called Core.
Yeah.
I had a lot of those and just a lot of like LJN and like little like wrestling toys. So basically anything that I could snatch up and put in a bag was mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you're a kid, you don't treat your shit good at all. Like, my original figures when I was a kid, my mom, just to get them out of off the floor, like, my mom would give us, like, a school bag, and you just have them all in a school bag. I don't know what happened to the fucking accessories, where they eventually went. But, like, you had a – and I remember, like, I would just dump out the school bag, and it would be, like, He-Mans and Ninja Turtles and just all that shit. And I don't know where – I would love to know where that shit went. Man, like I don't know I still have in my mother's attic I have Power Rangers, which I keep telling myself on a rainy day I'm gonna take out and restore and make sure it's in good condition, but I have not done it. But like, what happened to all my Ghostbusters and shit and He-Man and all that shit, man?
Oh, like, man.
Probably just threw them away and never thought about it.
I was gonna say, yeah, I remember one day from school, like Oh my God, now I'm like going into a nostalgia hole. But I remember one day I was coming home from school. Like, I got dismissed early because I was sick. And my mom took me to the Goodwill. And she was just like, she's like, hey, you know, I just got to get some stuff, like pots and pans, little odds and ends. And I remember seeing this like Lego, or I don't know what the hell it was, but it was like a little firehouse. And I remember I used that and I was like, oh, this is the place for all my guys. Like, this is going to be the house for him. This is going to be the battle zone. This is going to be, like, I remember I spent hours upon hours just playing that. Like, my mom would be like, oh, dinner's ready. And I'd leave the dinner sitting there just playing with this damn firehouse.
Nice. Was that your favorite playset?
I think so. Yeah, it was about the only playset. Like you said, like, I liked everything that was small and that I could, like, put in a bag, like, whenever I go to my grandparents' house or, like, if I ever go anywhere. And then eventually evolved into going over friends' house and playing, like, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I have an older sister. She's 7 years my senior. So, you know, she passed me down a lot of, like, her Pogs and, like, Monopoly games.
Oh, shit, Pogs, yeah.
So I had a lot of those. I'm sure they're sitting somewhere in this room.
Yeah. Do you collect anything nowadays?
Yeah, I actually collect a ton of comic books. Like, hold on. There's somewhere around here. I don't know. But in the treasure trove of my bookcase behind me, I got a bunch of comic books. I like collecting, like, DVD sets. Like, this is the first season of Robin Big. I got the complete series of Critic, one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
One of my biggest things right now is collecting, like, DVD sets of complete series that you can't find anywhere on streaming, you know?
True.
So I like to have, like, the physical copy of things. Like, I'm sure if we were in the 90s, I'd have a huge VHS collection of sorts.
Yeah. It's funny. I used to have a huge collection of VHS and DVD. And nowadays, like, I have such little shit. Like, I have the Star Wars movies, which I don't even really need because they're fucking on Disney Plus. It's weird. And when I was teaching film classes, I had on DVD every movie that I taught just because, you know, in the school, you couldn't rely on streaming. So you'd have to bring in a DVD. But, like, I remember students would be like, oh, you must have a sick DVD collection. I'd be like, not really. I have like four DVDs.
So my question with those original Star Wars movies, do any of them contain the word McClunky?
Not originally, no. McClunky... not a part of anyone's original vision. You know, it's funny. I haven't watched I've got the new set that's like the Jedi. The Skywalker saga, and I haven't watched the first Star Wars movie in a long time, and I haven't watched it on this set. So I'm not sure if this has McClunky or not. It probably does.
So I'm like I said, I'm not familiar with Star Wars, but. I have a coworker who's a huge Star Wars fan, and I remember that day he came in and he was so mad, and I was just like, whoa, what's wrong? And he showed me on the Facebook, and I was just like, what? And I was just like, so who shot first? He's like, it doesn't matter who shot first. Fucking McClunky.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's just pretty weird that this man, when Lucas had Star Wars, still would fuck with it. Like, he'd still be up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, I've got to add something. And I understand that a little bit. Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I'll release an episode of PCMC and it'll be too low or too loud or too hot or just something wrong with it. And then maybe if you listen to the next day, it'll be better. That's because I'll go and change it. Like, I will George Lucas some, but I never cut things out. I've never, like, went and said, no, I don't like that conversation, cut it out. I just make the sound crisper or better, but I understand the instinct to fucking go back and change shit.
I tell you, man, I definitely respect you doing this podcast. Like, even I don't know if I'm the president of the PCMC fan club of sorts,
president and only member.
I have sent fan mail. It's just it got lost through Emilio.
yeah,
but
Emilio.
But the thing I like most about your show is that you cover topics and you discuss things without, you know, insulting the listener. And your biggest thing is inclusion. You're not too PC. You're very, like, I hate the word woke, but you're very aware, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, fandom is like a family, you know? It's like, I mean, you talked about this about when you were a kid. Like, It's about belonging somewhere. And, you know, like, we should all belong somewhere. Like, I'm not into sports. I was never, like, the best-looking guy. I was, like, you know, like a little fat kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there were plenty of times in my life where I felt that the only place that was my place was, like, fandom. You know, like, on Friday nights, like, when I was a little kid, like, people would, like, I don't know what kids would do. They'd be, like, going out and, like, playing sports, and I'd be like, nah, I gotta go home because I gotta fucking, the Sci-Fi Network is gonna show, like, 2 fucking episodes of fucking Duck Factory starring Jim Carrey, and I've gotta fucking watch that and fucking then, you know, it'd be like, so, and I know now it's become more commercialized, and now, like, these aren't little things, like, these are huge things, like, Comic-Con is huge, whatever, but I still feel like, it's a community, and I hate people who are gatekeepers, and I hate people who are like, who like argue and say you're wrong and shit, or you know, like, go, I guess going back to the 2016 Ghostbusters, like, somebody likes that movie. I'm not huge on it, but somebody does. Maybe some little kid does. Maybe some little girl does. So it's like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's not an insult to you that there are fucking lady Ghostbusters.
So it's funny too, because like you said, you know, being a fat kid and liking the things that you like, we were constantly bullied for it. You know, I'm sure there's people that listen to the show and now they're like, yes, you're right. The thing now in today's age is that with podcasts, social media, and the internet, you're able to create that sense of belonging, like you said.
Yeah.
Whereas the gatekeepers now are like, hey, you can't sit with us because you feel like, you know, the Snyder Cut's better than the new cut and all that, you know? Whereas...
it's like we always have to find these divisions.
Yeah, and speaking of nostalgia, so I was at Goodwill the other day. You remember these shirts?
Yeah. How do you describe them?
Like they're like the silk, like, button shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this. I used to wear these in, like, middle school, so that kind of gives you an idea how cool I was.
I had a weird vest phase in middle school. I was like, I'm going to wear vests. I don't know why.
Was it Han Solo or was it Doug Funny?
No, it wasn't even cool vests. I looked more like Balky Bartakamos. It was. I don't know why I was like, these vests, this is the thing. This is my thing now.
It's like the episode of the Goldbergs where he shows up as the kid from the Breakfast Club. Yeah, this is my thing.
The kid from the Goldbergs, like even though that's a ridiculous show, like, I fucking, a lot of his childhood, I fucking really identify with, like, the making of the movies and all the toys and shit. Like, my room now looks like his room looks in that show.
I feel the same way, like, with my Funko Pops and comic books and wrestling. Like, I'm parts Adam, but when I get home, I'm like Marv.
Oh, yeah. Marv.
Oh,
you collect Funkos?
Yeah, I have a huge collection. They're actually in the back over there, but behind this wall in the closet. But, yeah, I collect Funko Pops. Some of them, like, so the inspiration behind my podcast, Rito's Modern Podcast, was this guy right here, Rocco.
Rocco's Modern Life.
So that's where the title comes from. I love the show and the art style. But when it comes to the Funkos, I take them out of boxes or keep them in box. Like, I got some wrestling ones, some G.I. Joe ones. What else do I got up there? I got some UFC ones, All Real Monsters, some DC ones and Spider-Man ones, just to name a few.
Awesome.
So as far as entertainment, do you read? Like, is there any books that you read, or you're more of a watch guy?
I'm a reader. I'm always reading reading something. Let's see. I just started a book that so far it's really good. It's called Pure Invention, and it's about how Japanese pop culture has influenced American culture. And, like, the opening chapter is all about Final Fantasy VII. So I was like, all right, this book is pretty cool so far. So I'm still at the beginning of it. But I kind of like where it's going. So
what's the name of that book?
Pure Invention.
Pure Invention. All right, I got to remember that.
Yeah. So when it comes to reading, lately I'm more into nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll read, like, fantasy sci-fi as well, though.
Yeah, there's one book I got that was written by the rapper Logic called Supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
I got two copies of it. It's a really good book. So far, what I've heard from people's reviews, I haven't sat down and read it yet just because I haven't had the time. But I guess it's some science fiction meets fiction storyline. And I'm surprised you don't listen to Logic, or I don't even know what you listen to as far as music.
I really don't listen to music. I only listen to podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't throw on like some 80s pop synth or anything like that?
No. I know. It's very odd. I've talked about it on the show. I was born without the taste for music.
Wow.
I know. I understand your feeling.
Like, you've never heard a song and you were like, wow, like, this is a beautiful song?
Sure I have. But for some reason, I can't consume a music the way that I consume other media. Like, if I hear a song and I like it, I'd be like, oh, I like that song. And maybe I'll, like, get it on my phone and listen to it or whatever. But in general, like, music isn't the thing that I go for. Like, when I'm driving, I always want to hear podcasts. I don't know. I love podcasts. This is the medium for me. Like, when I was younger, I, like, made movies, and I did stand-up, and I did sketch, and I did all these creative things. But I have to say that PCMC is creatively the best thing I've ever done. And by best, I don't mean good, but I mean, for me, it feels like this is the medium for me. I think fucking podcasts are, like, I'm a podcast artist, if such a thing exists, and I love podcasts.
That's awesome. Like, I with podcasting, my biggest thing, like, I started my own podcast, if anyone wants to.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I have a podcast. It's called Rito's Modern Podcast. I tried it, I want to say 2 years ago when I started listening to PCMC. So I was actually inspired by you and Emilio. And I watched the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse film.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, this is a great film. I have to find someone to talk about it. And I couldn't. So I was just like, let me record myself talking about it.
Mm.
And I started doing that. And then, you know, I did two or three episodes where I covered Comic-Con and comic book news and all that. But the problem was I couldn't get it on Apple, on the podcast. So I was like, oh, you know what? Screw this. I'm done. And then I started up again, and I had a little bit of time because of the quarantine and, you know, all this. And I recorded two or three episodes, which you can listen to now. And, you know, I do, like, top list and, you know, kind of in the same wheelhouse as Mike's podcast. But my biggest thing was, oh, you know what? There's already a pop culture, you know, mantra. And so I'm kind of in the area where, like, what do I talk about? You know, because I don't want to infringe onto your podcast, you know?
Well, I mean, but my podcast, I think, is very, I mean, you could see my influences in PCMC. You know, for a while, I listened to Pop Culture Happy Hour, which even has a similar name. And we end on PCMC with an obsession, but that show would end with what they called What's Making You Happy That Week. So I feel like I was very influenced by that. I'm very influenced by The Dark Forest, Nerdist.
I love Nerdist.
There's room for everything. You know, I don't think originality is even a real thing. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's not. What's original is your voice, like your take on something. So my only advice to you would be consistency. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, every Wednesday, I don't care what I'm going through in my life, I put up PCMC because I think that's the thing. I think that's the thing. Like, when my favorite podcast don't have an episode, I'm always like pissed. I'm like, come on, it's Friday. You're supposed to release on Friday. So like every Wednesday, I'm like, I don't care. Like, there's got to be a PCMC.
Yeah, no, I always look forward to the show. And like you said, you know, the consistency is key. Like, my biggest thing is I want to get it out. And my worry is I don't want to yammer or pander too long just because I'm solo. So I still got to figure out how to use Zoom and record.
Mm-hmm.
But your podcast, like I said, it includes everyone. And one thing that you like to do, which I found amazing, is how you correct like someone on like a term or like a pronoun without being too shitty about it, you know?
Yeah. You know, you. I think that there's a learning curve. Like, I don't like when people are woke – and then turn around to people that are maybe 5 minutes behind and go, fuck you. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, maybe they're just 5 minutes behind. Give them a hot second. They'll figure it out. Like, to me, like, I don't understand, you know, like, if tomorrow all of a sudden we all stop saying the word stupid because we realize stupid's really offensive. And then somebody says, oh, you're stupid. And now I have to cancel that person? Like, no, give them a minute. Like, they'll figure it out. Like, I don't know. That's my version of wokeness, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. So with me, I'm very accepting of everybody. I'm very, like, no matter what it is that you're into or like or who you are as a person inside and out. My biggest thing is sensitivity. Like, yeah. I feel like this generation or even possibly my generation has gotten too sensitive about certain things where it's like, hey, you know, just say, all right, that sucks, move on. If it's something minuscule, obviously. Where now there always has to be some sort of like big, oh, let's cancel this person because they said they didn't like carrots or something silly like that.
Right. I mean, life, and I've been talking about this a lot on, I've been recording Cuckoo Bananas. I make PCMC week by week, but Cuckoo Bananas, I'm doing more like the way you would make a movie. Me and my co-host are recording them all and then editing them all, and then we're going to put them all out. So I've been doing a lot of recording for this project, and we've talked a lot about, you know, that fucking, the longer you live, the more mistakes you make. Like, this idea of perfection really blows my mind because it's like, we've all fucked up. We've all said stupid shit. We've all said shit that is cancelable. We've, you know what I mean? Like, so like, I don't, this idea that you have to be perfect, and if you're not perfect, like, fuck you. Like, that's crazy to me. I don't know. So, especially because growth is possible. Like, people can grow.
I get what you're saying. I know exactly what you mean by that. Like,
well, this has been a really great conversation. I'm so happy that you were able to come on. And I'm so happy to have you as part of, you know, the community.
I'm happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And where are you online?
So on Twitter, I'm Rito's Modern Life, as well as Instagram. You can follow me on there. I also have a podcast called Rito's Modern Podcast. I got 2 episodes up, but hopefully I'll get some more out there once I find more things to indulge in. Probably watch Hamilton or something.
Rito, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure, man.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.